that dogs can't watch TV, but she can. I don't know if she's
this wasn't quite the chat I was looking for, but
this is probably better.
Australia going into the Ashes. Have they got a chance in that first test?
No one's spoken about Stark or Nathan Lyon, and they're two of our greatest wicket takers of all time.
Baz McCullum, obviously, he's made that English side go out and attack.
They're trying to win the game from ball one.
Finally, a bit of talent to join the show. Sam Walker, welcome.
Can you give us some dirt on Connor?
Be careful.
You're a horrible animal, mate. You all know.
It's the hardest competition in the world, the NRL, I think, because there's no easy game.
It's a constant battle to try and avoid tackles, trust me.
Yeah.
He's been very deep today, I'm liking it.
As opposed to the first two shows, there's a horrible risk of my remembering this one.
Welcome back to another week of Sports Cafe. I'm Taylor, joined by Connor and Rick in Sydney. And down the line in Nepal, we have Chris, and then Mark, where are you? New Zealand?
Yeah, New Zealand. Back at home. Dire risk of remembering this show.
Do you have any shoes on, Mark? I just see toes.
No, I don't. Sorry. Sorry, mate. Right.
Lenny, can you tell us what you're doing in Nepal?
Mate, over here for a T20 tournament. First time to Nepal. One of the big things, obviously, playing franchise cricket. I want to try and play every tournament once, so... mate, look at that. Look at the scenery. I know it's not quite Adelaide Oval, but got the Himalayas in the background. Pretty epic. So, mate, the young kids love it here. So hopefully I can just add a bit of value, score a few runs and have a good time while I'm here.
How's the altitude?
Pretty high at the moment. just had a net session. To be honest, I couldn't get out of there quick enough. The ball was going everywhere. I've been pinged all over the body. But, yeah, the ball was flying. So should be a nice tournament for a batter.
Yeah, mate, does it travel a bit further up there at high altitude? I remember in South Africa, the boys could kick a goal from literally about 65, 70 metres almost.
Yeah, it does, but the ball travelling wasn't my issue today. Making contact was my issue.
Well, actually, just talking about making contact, can we just play a little bit of video? This is Lenny down in Adelaide doing a radio promotion this week where he's just sort of showing off to the announcers his ability to hit sixes. let's have a look at the footage.
That's it, that's it.
Oh my God.
Seriously?
Yeah, do you want me to run you through it?
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
I won't name the radio station, but we're doing a bit for charity where every six I hit off the radio host, it goes like 50 or 100 bucks. So I've hit about 12 sixes and mate, it's about 8 in the morning at a local park, and there's one Asian fella going for a walk. One bloke on the ground, not part of it. And I've hit him. I've called four. I ran over, as you see on the video, and it's hit him on the chin. A leather cricket ball on the full. And absolutely crunched him. And I've ran over there, and you wouldn't believe it. This other old couple were walking over with their dog, and the first thing she says is, "Gee, you can hit a ball, can't you? Not how are you?"
It's so Australian.
Not how are you? What's going on?
Don't worry about the guy that gets hit. But it's just mate, good follow through.
Any blood?
Mate, plenty of blood. Oh. And I can see it swelling up. And like we're trying to dumb it down to the bloke. And she goes, "Oh, wow, you need to go to the hospital." I'm like, "Dale, you need a leak. Like, you're not helping the situation."
We had a similar moment at university. We were up, there were two tower blocks. And they're about 50 metres apart, and we're on the fifth floor, and for some reason we decide we got some water balloons together. And the moment my mate just flung it, this girl walked out of the other tower, and you went, "Oh, my God." You know, the moment it left the hand, it was, would have been 70 metres to travel, and literally, as she's walking, it just hit her right on the chin and just knocked her out flat. And we were just throwing it for a bit of fun. And we went, "Chip, what are we going to do?" So we all ran to our rooms and jumped into bed in the middle of the afternoon and pulled the blanket up.
Children.
And pretended we were having a mid-afternoon nap when all of the people came charging in. We got away with it, but it was the moment it left the hand. Did you know the moment you hit it, you were calling for?
I knew. It was like drawing round straight to him. It's like he had a magnet on his chin. And like, I've been playing cricket for 20 years, you warm up in front of the crowds. I've never hit anyone, but this poor bastard just copped it. So I took a couple of nice bowls of wine around for him.
Well, that's good. That's good.
Fixes everything.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Can I ask you about the Ashes, Lenny? So,
yep.
You know, obviously.
Made it.
Australia going into the Ashes without two of their, or maybe three of their frontline bowlers, you know. I mean, have they got a chance in that first test?
Oh, mate, absolutely. I mean, you know, the first show we did, that attitude of, I think Haydos said, we're always out there to win. We've got a rich history of winning in Australia. And no matter who takes the field for the, they just always show up. You know, there's a reason why we've got a kangaroo on our badge. We don't take a backward step. And we've got good depth in our bowling ranks at the moment. Just because Paddy Cummins and Josh Hazlewood are out doesn't mean, you know, the other boys can't do the job. What I really enjoy is no one's spoken about Stark or Nathan Lyon, and they're two of our greatest wicket takers of all time. So we've got the cattle to do it, we've got the hunger to do it, and we've got 25,000 people behind us to do it as well.
Who was the fella? Correct me if I'm wrong, but was it Bollingwood who came in Melbourne? He's a Melbourneite and just got a chance.
Scotty Boland
took a chance, never looked back. Every Australian who gets the chance, they've been sitting waiting for it. They take it. They seize it. Eh?
Yeah, it's the Australian teams. It's a hard team to get into, but once you're in the team, it's a hard team to get out of it. You know, as you said, they take the opportunity with both hands. So when you do get an opportunity, I mean, there's so many players amongst all states that have scored 1,000-run seasons. Matty Hayden had to score 5,000 runs before playing Test cricket, you know, 1,000-year seasons, and that's unheard of now. So,
and it's a lot of pressure on Joe Root, actually, because like everyone's saying, all the time that he's never scored 100 in Australia.
Yeah, absolutely. But, mate, he's a class player, and I think there's some weird stat that Cummins and Hazlewood, I've knocked him over like half the time he's played in Australia. So if he sees an opportunity, it's got to be this test.
Yeah, and Baz McCullum, obviously, he's got to ignite it. He's presumably still coach, Rick?
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah,
okay, so he's got a fantastically aggressive attitude. I mean, we love that in him in New Zealand. It sort of felt like we had an Aussie at the on the tiller. But he's made that English side go out and attack. So if they see blood in the water, they'll come with an attitude. I mean, there'll be a fair bit of lip, which is one of the great things of cricket. But do you think the new boys are going to cop a bit from the Poms?
I think so, especially the fact that we've got Wood and Archer in their ranks as well, who bowl 150 kilometres. But what Baz has brought to the England side is they're trying to win the game from ball one. They're not trying to win it on day three or four or five. And so, you know, that's always been the Australian nature, throw that first punch and then keep momentum in every sport. And Connor, you'll vouch for this. Momentum's huge, right?
100%, mate.
Did you play cricket, Connor?
Oh, yeah, Bs.
Yeah.
B division back in the under-14s, I think it was.
Yeah, no good. Yeah.
I was like the opposite to Lenny. I just blocked and blocked and blocked.
And what about you? You must be excited by the Ashes, Taylor.
I've never been more excited about an event in my life.
Yeah, what are you looking forward to in particular about the Ashes?
That it's being played around Australia. There'd be great scenery.
What about the Barmy Army? Are you a big fan of the Barmy Army?
Yeah, absolutely. What do they put on at cricket games to entertain the fans?
Cricket.
Yeah. But like, are they good? I know what you're saying. Like, yeah, it's a long day.
Only 5 days.
Yeah, but like at NRL games, like there's
cheerleaders.
Besides the game, there's cheerleaders. There's great entertainment, food stalls. Like, what do they do at cricket? Like, how are they getting so many
people? I think you're more suited to the Big Bash, Taylor, personally.
Okay, well, yeah, send me out to one day.
But from a male point of view, it's 8 hours of drinking piss.
That's fine.
To that point, I was at the MCG when Bob Hawke got collared by the camera and he just rammed a pint and the whole 100,000 people went up. Yeah. It was a magnificent moment. But the thing that really offended me was you can only buy half strength person. I was like, what have you guys done? I mean, why are the grounds treating you with such disrespect that you can only buy like 3% beer?
Because shame they know you.
Probably similar to your orange juice.
Hey, Rick, did you tell me today you're down to 100 kilos?
101.
What was your biggest?
Yeah,
112.
Mate, you're 120.
Shut up, mate.
Mate, if you get under 90, if you break the 100, I'm going to beat you up.
Yeah. Well, how heavy are you?
I'm 85, but pound for pound,
hello, mate.
I'll have you.
Hold on, mate. Macca, we've got a guest joining us, so just show some decorum. You can introduce our guest.
Speaking of weight, we've got Sam on the line.
Well, 95 right. kilos of me at the moment.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you, guys. Thanks for having me.
Do you enjoy a bit of cricket?
I do enjoy it, yes. I'm looking forward to the Ashes about to kick off again. I see Lenny's there. Where are you, mate?
Hello, Sammy. I'm over in the pool, mate. Now, obviously, you love your golf. You might be able to drive it over 230 metres in altitude here.
Mate, I'm playing off 10 at the moment. I'm flying.
So, Sam, you're finishing your off season. What have you been doing the last week?
Mate, I have had about 9 weeks of not doing a great deal, playing a lot of golf. Went to Bali for about 10 days for a wedding, doing myself over there. And then I went to did about a week in Melbourne for the Melbourne Cup Carnival. So besides that, mate, a lot of golf, hanging around Brisbane, back with family. And yeah.
Just, back a winner?
A couple of good days. Oaks Day killed me. Always, it was good weather though. It was good fun. Besides the last day, Steaks Day was pissing down, so it was a bit miserable there. But besides that, it was great fun.
He must have won a few because he had a few fancy dinners after. I tell you that much. Nobu every night, Sammy.
He did. He put it up on the gram, didn't he?
Yes, right. Trying to get active, you know what I mean? Just trying to let everyone know where I've been.
hey Lenny, you better get back and do some practice, mate. Can you do some training?
Yeah. I better run, guys. I've got field and training. I'm that pumped for it.
Field and training. Yeah,
field well, mate.
Great right, see you, guys.
See you, mate.
Sam, you get onto any of those? Did they do a lovely omelette in Bali?
A lovely omelette? No. Trying to think what we had. I didn't really have too many breakfast, to be honest with you. I was pretty worried about eating the food while I was over there. I'm pretty paranoid about it all.
You come unstuck in the end, didn't you?
We did 10 days. I lasted 9 days without getting crook, and then the day we were flying back, I ended up Bali belly got me a beauty.
Can I ask you a rugby league question? Is that okay or?
Nah.
There's been a long line of long legacy of great halfbacks in the Roosters jersey. Is that something you're aware of when you join the Roosters?
You know, coming through, watching, I was supported the Roosters for a very long time, and to be able to watch, you know, such good players. Obviously, Pearcey was there for a long period of time while I supported him. And then obviously Cooper was there for a couple of years before I turned up. And obviously having Cooper and Pearcey, they've always been around the club as well, helping out and coaching. You know, being learned off those blokes the last few years of my career has been, yeah, really special. And definitely learned a lot from them and implemented a lot of their stuff into my game. What pride to do that.
It's probably hard to like ask you a question because I see it every day, but you talk about like your instinctual play and the way that you continually back yourself, especially when it comes to, you know, nailing moments, you know, off the cuff where a lot of guys would potentially see something, but they'd, you know, put the risk versus reward and then, you know, doubt themselves and not go through with it. Like, how did that come into your footy? Has it always been a thing that you've done, or was it like instilled in you from your dad? And then also like getting to the first grade level when these opportunities come up, like what is your decision making process with that?
I think it definitely started from a young age. I think the way my dad and uncle sort of coach their football when I was sort of, you know, coming through as a junior, it was all about that sort of stuff, backing yourself, things to a football, you know, having the confidence to take on opportunities when they arise and not being afraid of that. I think that's how I play my whole sort of junior football. And I think rocking up the Roosters, I was sort of given that luxury of how to play my football along with trying to adapt into a system of play that you know, the Roosters have. And obviously every other team sort of has their style as well. And yeah, I was fortunate enough to be able to try and blend both styles into my game. And I think, just repetition of doing those little skills and looking instinctual that I've practiced 1,000 times, just having the confidence to do that when the game's on line, a moment of time when it arrives where I shouldn't sort of take that opportunity is, yeah, probably the way I look at it.
One of the things I've always been fascinated about in terms of, you know, playing closer to the ruck and lead, like I was one of the fittest when you do the running around the field many, many moons ago, but you come in from wing to centre and you've got to make maybe 6 tackles a game. How many tackles do you make? And because I do recall that like we had some great five halves or halves when we were playing for the Warriors, Stacey Jones, Gene Namu, but the opposition team would just run the forwards at them and try and knacker them so that, you know, that instinctive stuff that you're talking about is negated somewhat by the fact that you can just get so hammered in terms of your defensive requirement.
Well, he usually goes and stands on the wing, Macca, so.
Smart.
It's very, it's a constant battle to try and avoid tackles, trust me.
Yeah.
Getting very good at it though, which is hell for me. But it's good. I think having those blokes around is a big one. I've had sort of Angus Crichton, who's, you know, rep back rower, and Victor Radley the year before, which was huge for me. Those sort of fellas in the inside, and they sort of they help you a fair bit and try and as soon as you make contact, they try and get in there and just attack block and allow you to try and get out of there and not really exert as much energy as and probably they are, I guess, as well, which helps a fair bit.
I remember coming from rugby over, and we had one of our flankers, like flanker in rugby union is probably the guy who does the most work. I mean, it's not like Aussie rules where, you know, the guys in the centre run a half marathon effectively, but in our game now is like 23 minutes of action out of 80. League is 80 minutes of action out of 80. But these flankers, like in Richie McCaw, obviously a flanker, same position, they couldn't play at lock because it was just too onerous, the requirement of the up and back and the physicality and then get on attack. Too much.
Yeah, I think every sort of position has their, like, so I guess pros and cons. Everyone has their sort of area that they have to exert a bit more energy in. And I guess as a half and probably a hooker as well, it's definitely the Ks in your legs. You have to run, you know, upwards of sort of 10, 11 Ks in the game to sort of keep up with it all. And then, our back rowers, I think back row is probably the hardest position in the competition, but they're sort of doing 7, 8 Ks, but they're making 50 tackles and then having to run for 100 plus metres a game. If I think there are different areas, which you sort of get a lot of exposure to in training and pre-season as well, in the areas that you have to sort of, have a big output in.
Can you give us some dirt on Connor? Because, like, we're just getting to know him.
Be careful.
And he's quite annoying, but not really annoying yet. So, you know, just give us a bit of an insight.
You know that there's some bad stuff under the surface, right? But we're early on in the relationship. You're only just showing a bit of leads.
He's really trying to mature and change his image. I think he's ever since coming back to the Roosters, he's really trying to, I don't know, I guess, pretend he's a lot better than what I reckon he is, I reckon.
Yeah. Never you're an idiot, mate. The truth.
You're a horrible animal, mate. You'll know.
I've picked it up too. Mecca, that he's like got this facade, but you know, deep down, I think there's something there.
Yeah, for sure.
It's, well, I'm a coastie at heart, mate. So.
Facade, I think.
What's a coastie?
Central Coast.
Yeah. What's the personality of a coastie?
Just like surfers, rat bags.
I believe you're from Dubbo, mate.
Born in Dubbo, mate. Grew up at Avoca. So.
And where were you born, Sam?
I was born in England. Dad was playing football over there at the time and then moved over at a young age. We traveled around Sydney and then grew up mainly in Burley and Ipswich.
You've got a bit of Irish gypo, haven't you?
Pardon, sir?
Rick. No, I'm talking to Rick. He looks a bit like an Irish gypo, almost a tinker.
Who Sam does?
Who does?
No, Rick. Rick, he looks like Tyson Fury. I mean, he's the sort of guy.
I'm Italian.
Kind of actually. He's
the guy on the caravan.
Tyson
Fury. You know, who comes into your village.
Yeah.
He comes into your village and Paul Wingler is going in your car.
Yeah, that was a good observation, Matt. Good job.
Especially with the shirt too.
Yeah.
We haven't actually said anything about the shirt today.
Yeah. Like, the good thing about my clothes now is that they're described as vintage.
You've sold yourself on that.
All right, Sam, we'd better let you go because you've probably got a couple more days golf till you get ready for the preseason.
One more question. The big boys, right, who, you know, we're talking about the front rowers and the second rowers. Do you have any of them who blow out over the sort of off-season? Like, we had guys who would take off and they'd head over to the islands and they'd come back like 20 kilos on. And in like the space of weeks, 4 weeks, I'm just going, what have you been doing, mate? And
Macca,
they would get punished.
I think our halfback's the one that actually blows out in the off season. The one that we're talking to.
I'm the one that blows out the worst out of all of them. Sit there and drink a lot of alcohol and play a lot of golf for about 9 weeks and come back like an umpa.
His brother stitched him out the other day on his story. Oh, Sammy!
I just get a real bad like beer gut. The gut just starts to come over the top. It takes me to about January, February to get myself back in nick again.
Longer breaks now, Macca. So everyone gets head noise with about a month to go and they're like, need to get fit.
Actually, one used to be pretty bad. Stan and Smith used to come back poor.
These guys Stan have put on like 15 kilos in a week, like over to, you know, they just went on a gorging frenzy, you know. It was extraordinary.
Don't knock it to try it, mate. I can speak it from experience. It's a great thing to do. Sam, all the best, mate, and thanks for joining us and enjoy preseason.
That's all good. Thanks for having me, guys.
See you, mate.
Thank you.
Hey, Connor.
Yes, mate.
You know, the preseason, what do you do? Like, I remember we would have like a morning session, which would mainly be cardio. And then you'll be back in the afternoon for like a weight session. So it's two sessions a day. Is that still the way it rolls?
Yeah. We actually, you're on the board of the Highlanders, eh?
Yeah.
So we actually got the old Highlanders head of performance, Simon Jones. Do you know him at all?
No, I don't. I don't. Heard of him.
And basically, he come in and he's like, the idea was he wanted to get another conditioning session in. So the way it works is like in the morning we'll do field, and that's like you're sort of on field conditioning.
Yeah.
Have lunch. After lunch, then it'll be like a rotation of weights, wrestle, a meet, like a meeting in your position groups. And then the last thing is finish the day off with off feet conditioning.
What are you doing, mate?
Yeah, look at his shirt, Macca.
That's awful. Mate, like I reckon like, you've probably got a week left, mate. We're going to bury you in that.
And then on the Friday, so we do that like Monday, Wednesday.
So you,
then on the Friday,
you stay in situ the whole day. You stay in location the whole day. You don't hit
pretty much
back.
Like yeah, it's 7:15 arrival now.
Hey, that's heavy, man. That's heavy. I'm now 54, right? But and I remember playing sport for 10 years, sort of amateur and professional. And you go, oh, mate, it's amazing. But it's such a short period of your life. And then you're into the remaining 40 years of, you know, having to work doing something. But, you know, it's like a job now. Like, whereas it was when we were playing, that 5 years amateur, 5 years professional, the amateur was lots of fun because you'd win a game, you get a pat on the back and somebody would buy you a beer. You lose a game, you get a pat on the back and somebody buy you a beer, you know, and you had a Tuesday, Thursday training. And then it went professional and it got so serious. And you had psychologists and all and nutritionalists and it was just OTT. But this is a job now. Like it's a.
Once you start playing, Macca, if your team's going good, it's like the best ever, you know, because your days get shorter. It's more about recovery and rest, all of that sort of stuff. And then you're playing as well. You're doing like the fun stuff. But when you're especially like it's gotten better because the breaks have gotten longer. So older boys get 9 weeks now, younger boys get 7 weeks. When I first started playing first grade, it was just 6 weeks. So when I was at the Knights the first couple of years, we didn't make the finals. We're training from November 1. So you're doing like 7 weeks before your Christmas break. So by the time you get to Christmas break, you're that fit. Like you could play, but it's almost like then you come back after Christmas and then you almost burn out. By the time you start playing, you're burning out because you've been training for so long.
I reckon it's the hardest competition in the world. I think that Aussie Rugby League because every week is a fucking hard game, but there's no easy games.
Yeah.
Like when we played NPC in New Zealand, which is the equivalent in rugby back then, or even, even Super Rugby, there's, there's one or two teams that you should probably beat. You can almost relax a wee bit. But in the league, if you relax, you lose. You know, there's no easy game, eh? No walkovers.
Can you tell us about your pickleball exploits today?
Oh, yeah. So this morning I spent the morning watching my mum and her friends of the same age play pickleball. That was quite an excursion.
Mature age.
Yeah, yeah, around your age group. Yeah. So picture that. Yeah.
Like 20s. No.
Like,
yeah. And how was the pickleball?
Yeah, all things were going smoothly. I'm about to get my camera out because I'm like, oh, this is funny. And then one of my mum's best mates takes a stack and ends up in emergency with a...
What's a stack? No.
Stack like a four. Four. Yeah. Keep up, mate. So I ended up having to have stitches in her forehead.
In her forehead?
She stacked it. And it's one of those falls where it happens as long as you can realize what's happening.
Yeah.
Wasn't it just a split second? It went on for about what felt like fucking 6 minutes. And poor things hit the fence of the pickleball court as well.
And were you sympathetic?
Oh.
As could
no, you're
be,
laughing.
Yeah, in a situation like that. Yeah.
Any laughing?
Yeah, I had to cross my legs, so I didn't wet myself. That's a thing after giving birth. You've got to cross your legs.
Just see her at the back crossing her legs.
Yeah, yeah. I'll be there in 2 minutes. Someone hold it for her. If anyone can top that, go for it.
You met the human cannibal last week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a little bit sort of tight five, but Who cares? We went to Japan and we're on a rooftop terrace with the same trip as you witnessed last week. And there's a feature pool that's about that deep. And so I sort of, we're three sheets. So I jump in and swim down it and come out going, oh, it's a record. And he said, oh, bugger that. And he just started, we walked, ripped his clothes off and we're all saying, don't dive, don't dive. And he dove straight into the pool. And because he's so barrel chested, he didn't lose his teeth and break his nose. He just landed on his chest and came down and cockeyed himself and came up and said, oh, Jesus, that hurts. And the Japanese are wrapping his head up with towels. And so he's, you got him teetering on that sort of behavior last week.
The good thing is he doesn't want to come on the show.
And there was a lot of laughter with that. There's a lot of, laughter with that. That was, and it's filmed. I'll try and get it for you next week.
He doesn't want us talking about those stories anymore, but thanks for that, Macca.
You can edit it if you need to.
The NRL had their big schedule releases and all the teams put one out. And we thought these are a selection of some of the top ones.
Hey, Joe, mate, it's Jake Trbojevic here. I want to say congratulations, mate. I heard recently, playing for the mighty Monavale Raiders, you won Players Player for your teammates. Like, good on you. That's a great achievement.
Massive congratulations on the arrival of your son, Sione. He's been behaving and settling in with his brothers, bro, which is amazing, man.
Hey, Ethan, how are you, mate?
I hear you're playing Junior League and hoping to play for the Blues one day.
G'day there, Matt. It is Toby Rudolph here from the Cronulla Sharks. Been told that you think you can play a full game of NRL at prop. I kind of do admire your imagination.
Our story begins with a tantalising glimpse of something very special.
It's one animal that I don't need to sneak up on.
These dolphins have taken on an even tougher challenge.
This could be a real feast, but the blue shark must be cautious. After days of travel, the smell of food gets stronger.
I'm Tom Trbojevic.
Hello. Looking forward to this Battle of the West, lads.
The West is the best.
So, which one do you like? Bluey. Is that Bluey?
Yeah, that is Bluey. I love Bluey. It's a great show. You know dogs can watch that too.
Bluey?
Yeah, so it's like the only colour dogs can actually see, I believe.
What, blue?
Yeah, blue, so it's in all tones. So me and Louie watch it with the twins. Oh, sorry, my dash out. I've got to dash out.
Do you know my, like, this is off topic, but on that, my mum has two dogs, one of them, French bulldogs. One of them can literally... I'm telling you, if there's a dog on any, like a TV ad or anything, we'll see it straight away. Sits there and watches it and we'll just start barking. Because that's what people said, that dogs can't watch TV. But she can. I don't know if she's
this,
like
this wasn't quite the channel I was looking for. But
this is probably better. But
when I lived in Hoboken, which is in New Jersey, the guy that was my neighbor owned dog TV. And it was a channel of programming just for dogs to watch on TV.
Wow.
That's unreal.
Yeah, so it was just dog-friendly television, so they could sit there and watch television while their owners were out.
Yeah. Yeah, well, the worst thing is that she starts barking, but Nala, that's her name, starts barking. So if you're trying to watch a TV when the dogs jump on, then she's just no good.
Did you get a swish call to go on? Yeah, I was just going to
say that because I started watching the Canberra one, and I'm on swish as well.
Yeah.
And I'm like thinking, here comes the Roosters one. Please don't like tell me I did it. But thank God.
Great, thank God I didn't do it.
Yeah.
I mean.
You'd be filthy. You'd be filthy, wouldn't you?
Well done, Canberra. That was bloody impressive.
Yeah. Did you see the one of the cake?
Yeah.
There was one of the cake where they put like a bunch of ingredients in and baked a cake.
That's fair.
Yeah. Remember the TV show Rainbow, Rick? You guys will be too young for it, but Rainbow was one of those shows that parents could watch with the children.
Yeah,
because the double entendre that was, Zippy and Bungle and Jeffrey and these guys, they're probably too young.
Did you watch
it
as a child?
I watched it as a child, but my parents were also watching it, which I thought was kind of weird because, like, there was no reason to watch it. And then now I watch it as an adult, like, very clever programming.
I just wonder if it's explaining a few things. Like, it's pretty weird and you're pretty weird.
Well, I loved Zippy, was my favourite. And that's how we got Ralphie on the show.
We talked about Ralphie last week. Remember when Ralph, you know, when he apologized in.
Oh, yes, the Gimp.
Yeah, well, the Gimp's got a name. Look, I hate Ralph. like personally, it's something that really, really upsets me. But
why? Why do you hate
well,
it?
Well, look, Macca loves it.
Well, he had a 5-year-old kid, you know, and it's
no,
a hard
it's just
thing to explain to a five. Why have you got a guy in a zippy in a gimp suit?
This is what
on
Mark
your show?
Thinks. Can we play Ralph? This is what Mark thinks is funny. I'm apologizing in advance.
That is the creepiest shit ever. Macca. That's like American Horror Story shit right there.
You're into that kind of stuff.
Am I? Yeah, like serial killer vibes.
I
wonder where you were going with that. That's like, this is really awkward.
Yeah.
Have I said that?
I'm into gimps carrying around peeking dogs.
Very neat.
Horror stuff.
Yeah,
you know?
That is true. It literally did look like watching something out of American Horror Story, which is my favourite show, so good call.
And Macca, you love it because of the Pulp Fiction movie, is that right?
Well, no, I actually was in Germany a couple of weeks ago and went to a nightclub over
Maybe
there.
Maybe we're not talking
sort of
about that.
Dante's Inferno.
No,
when
for
you come
legal
in the door,
reasons.
That's all right. I mean, I just think because the Germans have been so suppressed, right, and they go and they liberate. And so in this particular nightclub on the first floor, there's like music and dance and fun stuff. And then it's like Dante's Inferno. The further down you go, about three layers down, there's seven. Three layers down, there's Ralph's everywhere.
How far down did you get?
I'm a rabbit holer. I went right to the bottom.
Right down. Yeah, that doesn't surprise me.
That's where the real shit happens, you know.
Is that,
I mean,
is that Berghain, was it?
Kit Kat Club.
Oh, yeah.
And you know it.
I've heard about Kit Kat. Yeah.
Yeah. It was a bloody interesting, mate. I tell you what, because you hear about it, but you've got to see it with your own eyes.
So what was on the bottom floor?
Oh, like we can talk about it in person. There's
some real nasty shit.
Yeah. I mean,
have a look at this. There's a reason why I've got this particular chair. It's to try and get over that shit, you know, and speak to somebody about it.
one of the things, like,
I didn't see anything as offensive as you in that shirt, Rick.
Hey, this is cool in 1996.
It'd be cool if it was on fire. Is anyone got a lighter? It'd be
Mambo.
Flammable, highly flammable too.
Mambo?
Like,
I remember Mambo, yeah.
Mambo was big.
I was born in the year that.
It was a surf brand.
Yeah, mental as anything.
It was.
Reg Mombasa. He's Australian. Uh-huh. Look, talking about Australians, there's some things that I've learnt, well, I've heard in Australia that I don't know what they are. Can you explain to me what a bindi is?
Like a burr?
A bindi, yeah.
In the grass.
Yes. Do you not have them in New Zealand?
No, we don't have bindi. So we know bindi Irwin.
Mm. Yeah.
Well, I was in Dubbo on the weekend and felt something in my shoe and I pulled out a cat's head. Have you ever heard of that?
No.
You know what those are?
Like really? The head of a cat?
Nah, it's like a bindi on steroids. It's got like three heads. It kind of looks like a cat, I think, with ears, but you don't want to tread on them.
A bindi was like a cannabis.
Nah. A bindi is like
maybe in your circles.
The grass in summer. I don't know what it is, whether it's the heat or like it's a
it dries it all out.
Yeah,
too.
It gets dry and then it's just like it's like getting a thorn in your foot.
Mm. So do you run on the grass with bare feet?
We just try to avoid it at all costs. Yeah.
Yeah, it's you know like when you go touch grass to like ground yourself.
Yeah.
You don't want to be doing that on bindis.
No,
it's not
won't zen
fun.
Out.
Yeah.
And the other thing I heard someone say the other day was, "Oh, don't worry about that. It's just a bin chicken." What's a bin chicken?
Oh, those. Have you seen them?
Well, I don't know what they are.
They're like these birds with the beak that's like
they're called ibises. Not they're the black and white birds, and they just basically jump into bins, eat rubbish out of bins. You know, there was a guy. Did you ever hear that story about the
who cooked one?
Yeah, he was cooking them. He was killing them and cooking them and eating them.
Yeah,
he got
bin chickens.
Yeah,
and he got time for it.
Yeah, I don't know. If
he got protected.
Oh, really?
Well, no, they're a pest, honestly.
Yeah, but I don't think it's just a nice thing to do. Really.
Yeah,
probably frowned upon.
Okay,
my high school was filled with them.
There's also bush turkeys. You know what that is?
No, what's a bush turkey?
It's like a bush turkey.
Right.
Yeah. They got
the turkey that lives in the bush.
Yeah. And they just run around. They got these like weird gobble things.
Yeah, there's also bush turkeys, you know. There's also, you know, tree. But what is it? It's a bush turkey.
Yeah. And we've got fish as well.
Yeah. Which is crazy.
And then the other thing that's big in Australia, can you explain what schoolies is?
Yeah, so I know that. Schoolies was big back when I was in high school. It still is now.
What is it?
Especially when where I'm from in Cronulla, you go to Fiji, that's the go-to. But like you go to Gold Coast, Bali, and it's to celebrate you finishing high school. Mm. And it's a week you just write yourself off.
Right.
Yeah.
How was that? Was it good?
It was great. Yeah. Tried Carver the first time. Little did I know I'd go on to marry a Fijian man. So that's come quite in handy, that part of the culture I learnt. But I ended up in hospital, which was just like a room with a bed in it because my tonsils flared up.
Really?
So I got some antibiotics.
Oh, there's always, you know, tonsils are a bad weakness.
Speaking of,
take your wisdom teeth out.
I had mine out, my tonsils out.
Oh, you got them out?
Yeah. Like 5 years ago. It was the worst two weeks of my life.
Yeah.
What about the size of cricket balls, I reckon?
how did you do schoolies?
When you go on schoolies, what percentage of people come back with tattoos?
Yeah, I'd say a fair chunk, especially if you're going to Bali. Yeah. My brother went to Bali. Yeah. He came back with one. I never got to go, Rick, because when I finished school. Yeah, we went and I went to school. I finished high school.
Oh, yeah, good.
First person in my immediate family actually to finish.
Oh,
that,
so congrats.
I was pretty proud of that. My brother never did, actually. He dropped out. But he still went to schoolies, mind you. He dropped out and then went to schoolies. Well, there's actually something called a toolie as well. Do you know what that is? Do you know what a toolie is, Macca?
No, but I'm happy to hear.
So a toolie is basically someone who's old, like hasn't just finished school but goes to schoolies. So say like a 19 or 20-year-old. They've already finished school. Like they're at uni or whatever and they go to schoolies. So they go to Bali when schoolies is on. They call you a toolie.
Wow.
Yeah, we call them creeps.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Perverts.
Yeah. And how did you go? Why didn't you go to schoolies?
Because we started pre-season. Like, the week of. So back then it sort of was.
You were straight into NRL.
Nah, I did 20s, but it was pretty frowned upon to not go to training and go to schoolies. But nowadays the kids will go to schoolies and miss a week of training. Even some of the ones that train first grade, they'll go to schoolies. It's funny when they get back, they'll always like make sure they work them, you know. Yeah, I remember this one fella come back. We had a Saturday session, maybe come back for the Saturday session. And I just remember watching him after a week on the piss. It wasn't well. We ended up spewing and everything
because they knew.
Well, just like we had a Saturday conditioning session anyway. So
yeah,
but yeah, just like they didn't want him to run because obviously he hadn't ran and been on the piss for a week, and then come in on a Saturday and made him do the conditioning and the off feed stuff and.
When I signed for the Warriors record, it was the end of 1995, which was my last year at university. And in the contract, I wrote, I'm having caffeine week off, right? And so they let me have caffeine week, which is, you know, university doff. And so you head down and it's like the same people you saw last week, but a week of it and there's, you know, 100 of them, not 7. Mm. And come back and play the game. It was just, they won when I was away. They didn't when I came back.
Actually, talking about disappointing losses, big tough week for rugby on both sides of the Tasman, the Wallabies losing to Ireland and the All Blacks losing to England, which is very disappointing. So we thought we'd get the ultimate motivator to just have a quiet word to the boys.
Come on, boys, come sit down. Fellas, all right? I don't know why you fellas have been said to me. Your mother reckons your old man's a bit soft on you, so I have to be the asshole. You fellas are the golden child, see? If we're talking to you fellas like this, eh? Some of you should be exempt from this. Cody, you're one of them. Will, you're another one. Damien, but it's just hard, boys. You know, I could see you trying, but yeah, let's be honest, what are you doing? What's that? The Wallabies? Wait, don't worry about those fellas, why? They've been shit since Gregan. They only have flashes of brilliance. Yeah, you've got the whole country bearing down on us now, on our family. Fellas got to win all the time. Almost had to put posters up on the Plymouth flagpoles because you fellas went missing. Turns out you fellas were just in protective custody. Well, not here. No, you're found here. Hey, by piss off. Me grand slams. Buddy, Tomati. Come back here, boys. Shut the door. Finish with you two.
Is there such a thing as, one of the great things about the Maori culture, I mean, obviously is the culture. We don't have much of it, but they are effectively our litmus test of what's, you know, cool about New Zealand. But I've never met a Maori who doesn't have a bloody good sense of humour. Impossible. Okay, so that's not going to make the cut, is it? No, you can't talk about Indigenous.
I agree.
How can I do that? Being a, I've got Maori in me, Rick. I found my whakapapa.
Have you? Where was it?
Ngāti Whai,
which
out
is
the coast here.
Oh, nice.
Well, basically, Great Barrier Island.
That's so cool.
You'll be claiming some land.
Yeah, just, you know, claiming that I know my lineage and history.
In all seriousness, it's a lovely important thing. It's,
love
it's,
that.
Yeah, it's a beautiful thing to have that. You know, I mean, that's important to you, isn't it? Kind of as being your Indigenous background?
Yeah, Aboriginal. So my dad's side of the family. Yeah, from out Western New South Wales. So it is good. Like, I've sort of known it since I've been, like, young, but just still on a journey, you know, about finding out more. A lot of that stuff was, for a long time, was, like, a bit taboo, especially for, like, my nan and pop and stuff. So trying to get as much out of them as you could when they were alive, but unfortunately they've both passed now. But it's good, yeah.
Is that a journey that you're going on now that you're trying to learn more about?
Always, Rick. It's something that I just takes like time, you know. Sort of like just trying to because for a long time, like especially with pop and stuff, it was you know, from his like grandparents and stuff, and they sort of kept it quiet because back then, like being a single mother was with kids was a bit sort of dangerous. So for a long time, like my pop and stuff didn't really know for a long time, especially when they were young. So they sort of found out a bit later in life. But
found out what?
That they were Aboriginal.
Right.
Yeah, because they didn't know.
Wow.
One of the greatest books I read is called Mutant Message Down Under.
Yep.
And it's about an Aboriginal people who took a English reporter on walkabout.
Yep.
You got to read it, mate. Like, she went into the desert and the grandmother steered the direction they needed water. She'd go turn right and they'd turn right. And they went to caves where there were drawings that were 30,000 years old. And just navigating on dunes that are changing. It's a beautiful story. I mean, I love Indigenous folk of all, but because it's some history and it's the lineage and it tells a story. But the Aboriginal people, the oldest people, you know, in on Earth, and the way the beauty and the peace that they portray, it's the Mutant Message Down Under, well worth a read. Yeah, sorry, cool. I didn't articulate that particularly well, but
I'll have to have a look. No, you did. I think like when you look back at it and like looking at history, just how connected they were with the land, like the understanding of the lay of the land, you know, because of obviously what happened here in Australia, you know, like a lot of that history's been lost, but the stuff that has been passed down has been pretty cool. I think like for me, one of the coolest things is being involved in like the Indigenous All-Stars camp, and they do such a good job through that on bringing in like cultural leaders and uncles and all the elders and stuff. And it's pretty funny, like, week, because obviously you got a game to play at the end of it, and every sort of like rep team I've been a part of, you know, it's not quite serious. Sort of go about your day training and, you know, get your massages and do your recovery and that. And I just remember like the first three nights, we were up till midnight pretty much every night doing cultural stuff. And because like you got to learn like a lot of the dances, and it was a fair sort of new crew last year because, so like we're all up. Basically, because you've got these different events through the weeks where you got to do like, you know, like a welcome sort of, dance and then so on until like, you know, the game day, the sort of, the war cry or the, you know, the, where the both sort of the huckers exchange as well. But yeah, it's funny, like getting towards the back end of the weekend, we're like that tired going, when are we going to recharge? But then, you know, like, few days out is sort of when they taper off all that stuff. But
it's funny, like you've heard me say this before, Rick, but you know, the media portrays this myth that wealth comes from a material possession, right? And so when you get older, you think about what house you lived in or what car you drove. It's how much time do you spend with the people you loved. And who's richer then? Indigenous people, you know, Maori and Polynesian culture or Aboriginal culture, or the Anglo-Saxon who jumps on the bloody treadmill and sprints till he's 65 trying to get a house to buy. But it's just, that's where wealth is. And I'd love to see the media celebrate that rather than the former.
Wow, where's Mark gone?
I know. He's been very deep today. I'm liking it.
I actually thought that those books were props. I didn't realise you've read some of them.
I thought you were a prop, mate.
There he is. He's back.
He's back. Welcome back. Good to just finish on a fat joke. Thank you. Look,
no, but now, the other thing I saw, I don't know where you squeezed this in, but it was Wayne Smith talking about being on the All Black bus, because you talk about, I mean, NRL is the toughest sport, but the pressure on the All Blacks to win every week, and we saw our mate give them a bit of a rev, is just so heavy because of the lineage and everything that's gone through. Is you have to win. So when you win the game, it's not a celebration, it's a relief. And so on that bus, everyone's so stayed and tried and focused and motivated. But then he said he got on the New Zealand women's bus, and they're playing music and they're dancing, and they go out and they play their best when they're doing that. So the disparity between the pressure on the All Blacks and the female crew was, you know, quite significant to him. Like he in the end, he spoke to the girls about it, and they said, you know, that's how we get the best out of us. But it's so diametrically opposed.
Yeah, I think it's like pretty similar in League Two, like for a while there, where everyone was like that pre-game. And then I don't know if you've seen like the way the Penrith boys were when they sort of come through and, you know, like carrying the boombox into the sheds, playing music, all of that. And then like I feel like it's definitely switched a lot with other environments too. Like I even know in the teams that I have, like it's a bit more relaxed pre-game. Some people, you know, have their headphones in and they sort of lock in, and then there'll be like a group speaker where all the boys are listening to that one. And I think, yeah, I think it's a bit more accepting of like different horses for different courses, you know, like how some bloke goes about their preparation is different to mine, for example. So I know the coaches are like more accommodating with that now.
Mate, in the All Blacks, you had to sit in the same seat. You didn't speak to anyone. You just sat there focused on your job. Then when I played my first game for the Warriors, like Mark Horroy gets on the bus 5 minutes late. If you're a minute late, even as the, you know, the captain of the All Blacks, you're dropped. He gets on 5 minutes late eating a hot dog. This one's got a DVD. So he goes ruffling through his bag and sticks on a DVD, a very questionable substance. I'm driving to the game going, holy shit, this is very, very different than the All Black bus.
Right.
Love that.
Probably time to finish the show.
Don't show that bit, Rick.
I'm going to show that
bit. Or cut out of it.
No, I'm going to put it on.
No, don't do that.
Yeah,
cut out before it.
Look, just before we go, there's just some good news.
Don't put that on either, Rick, for f***'s sake.
As I was going to say, it's probably a good time to finish now, please. Some good news for you. Zoe Naylor, that used to work for us, she's an Australian actress.
Yeah, cool.
She left the show and went into McLeod's Daughters. So there's hope for you yet. Good night.
Good morning. Welcome to Driver's Run.
You know the show that I work for in New Zealand, the Sports Cafe?
No.
The Sports Cafe, you know, Rick Salizzo and Lana and the gang.
I'm from New Zealand. I've never heard of that show.
Oh. Well, anyway, it's their final show this weekend, and I'm kind of out of a job, so I thought that maybe you guys would have me back.
Well, you did steal my character's love interest, so I don't know if that's such a good idea, Zoe.
I'm out of a job, and I wanted to know if maybe you could ask if I could have my job back here.
As an actress?
Yeah.
I don't have that much rank, but you know what I can do for you? Bill Willoughby, horse wrangler.
Oh, yeah.
He's looking for a new like poop scooper.
And I'm looking for a job, and I believe you might need a personal assistant.
Right. Well, I'm pretty full up at the moment, but yeah. I do need an umbrella holder.
Oh, well, funny though, I've got one. And I got you water.
Thank you.
Hang on a minute, I can hold my mic.
Right. Right. I think we should do this on a trial basis.
Trial, okay. Yeah, can I get you anything else?
New water, there's a bug in mine.
Oh, I'm sorry. Hold this for a moment.
Right, thank you.
I'll be back.
Okay.
Oh, sorry. Hang on. Thanks.
She's a great umbrella holder.
Welcome back.
Yay!
We're glad to have her back. She's not a poop scooper, really.
We're very excited to have Zoe back on McLeod's full time.
Yeah.
Thanks for coming back.
No worries.
We just have to pretend we don't like each other.
I know, for a while, but don't tell anybody.
We really do like each other deep down. And I have heard of Sports Cafe. I was only kidding before.